I am convinced that most people problems are ultimately a gospel problem. And we pay a big price when we settle for a small gospel. And it is one of the reasons why I have loved preaching through this Alive and Free series, because in this series, what I have been proclaiming, what my father-in-law proclaimed last week, is a bigger gospel than just Jesus died so that you can get to heaven someday. A lot of us accepted a message as gospel that accepts bondage as normal. And the true gospel is so much bigger than that. As Bill so eloquently read for us at the beginning of our worship service, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins." So the gospel is not just a road to salvation. It is a free way. And I have been contending that Jesus is not just calling you out of the grave. He is calling you out of your grave clothes to live the way that God wants you to live. So this series is ending today. But I genuinely hope your pursuit of freedom is just beginning. Because, write it down, freedom is a reality. And the first step to freedom is not to do something. It is to believe something. To believe that freedom really exists. Did the 13th Amendment to the Constitution free the slaves in America? And the right answer is yes and no. Judicially and legally, they were free. But many remained in slavery. Some did not know that they were free. Some did not know how to be free. And some heard the word freedom, but they could not believe that it could be true. Freedom begins with hearing and accepting the word of truth. So the Apostle Paul would say to us that he, Jesus, gave himself as a payment to free all people. The enemy does not want the world to hear that message. In fact, he wants the world to believe that that is a myth. And so, even though he cannot stop our union with Christ from purchasing our place in heaven, he wants you to believe that you have to go through hell on earth. And you don't. You don't have to stay in prison. Do not accept a shrunken gospel. The first step to achieving freedom is believing that freedom really does exist. So, I don't know what bondage you deal with, you have dealt with, you are dealing with. But do not embrace what Jesus came to erase. Paul says to us in Romans chapter 7, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, the good news is this: freedom is a gift. Paul did not say, "What will rescue me?" He said, "Who will rescue me?" Because freedom is not a work that you or I do. Freedom is a work that Jesus did for us. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 that we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are made right with God by grace. The gospel is not offering you a chance to purchase your freedom. The gospel is inviting you to step into the freedom that Jesus has already purchased and created for you. It is a gift. Now, a small gospel will not tell you that. A small gospel will tell you that you are forgiven, but if you want to be free, there's a long list of do's and don'ts and rules. And here's the reality. Law never sets anybody free. Law says, do all this stuff to get the mess out of your life, and then maybe Jesus will come in. And grace says, Jesus wants to come in and start getting the mess out of your life. And he will. And the gift of the Spirit of Christ, as we surrender to him more and more, will start to help us walk in more and more freedom. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, now the Spirit, or the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But it is important for you to know this as well, that freedom is a responsibility. Only Jesus can set you free. But only you can let him do it. Because Jesus will not force freedom on anybody. There's this compelling story in the 5th chapter of John where Jesus walks up to this man that has been lame for decades. And he asks him the most perplexing question. Do you want to get well? Jesus never walked up to anybody and said, how did you get into this mess? He didn't walk up to anybody and say, how did you get into prison? What he asks is, do you want out? Because amazingly, some people do not. And that is the appeal of a small gospel. It lets you accept slavery. Because some people would rather live their life sharing their excuses than walk step by step in freedom. Some people would rather have their identity be as a victim instead of walk in victory. Some people would rather have their expectations stay very, very low. Because they are in bondage. It's like the story I heard of the first grade boy. And first day ever that he tied his own shoes, he burst into tears. And his teacher asked him why he was crying. And he said, I'm going to have to do this every day for the rest of my life. Freedom brings responsibility. It is not God blocking the on-ramp to the free way. The only thing keeping us off the free way is our own desire to be on it. Do you want to live resigned to where you are? And you're just going to have a problem with anger and bitterness and greed and addiction and shame and guilt? Do you want to resign to where you are, or do you want to be released to go where God is calling you to go? Because God has created an on-ramp for the journey called freedom. And by the way, freedom is a journey. I know a few people who lived for decades in bondage came to Jesus and instantly they were set free. But for most of us who have dealt with bondage for years, freedom is going to be a process. And here's why. Because Satan is a thief. And Satan wants back what he stole from you in the first place. So when you get on that freeway and you start walking in the freedom that the Spirit of Christ is teaching you to walk in, he's going to show up and he is going to try to derail and detour your journey. And every time you stumble, and every time it gets hard, he's going to be there to whisper in your ear, see, you don't belong here. Get off this freeway. There's an exit ramp. Just get off. But let me ask you, what of enduring value in your life ever came in a hurry? You need to keep pressing through. And by the way, do not compare your progress or journey in freedom with somebody else's. We do that. We get on Facebook. We see somebody that's got a perfect family and a perfect life, and we feel like a failure. You need to know they are putting up their highlight reel on Facebook, not their blooper reel. Everybody has a blooper reel. So do not compare your journey to somebody else's. You stay on the freeway and you remember it is better to break free little by little than it is to stay in bondage for the rest of your life. And when the progress seems small, don't give up, because God's promise is so big. Paul said in Philippians that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is at work in you, and God is good at his job. I heard the testimony of a man named Don McLaughlin, who as a young man walked in bondage. Bondage to vulgarity. Bondage to sexual sin, bondage to drugs, bondage to alcohol, bondage to all kinds of issues. And when he came to Jesus, he completely surrendered his life. In fact, he determined that night that he surrendered to Christ that he needed to be baptized. So he and his friend went to a local church and it was locked. And kind of drawing from his past skills, he broke into that church. And he got baptized. He's the only person I have ever heard of that broke into a church to be baptized. And 1 month later, he preached his very first sermon ever. And he was in front of this little audience in a small country church. And he got flustered as he was speaking, and he really did mean to say, "Oh, shoot." But he wasn't completely free yet. And he did not say, "Oh, shoot." And a sweet little elderly woman was on the front row, and she said, "Honey, that's okay. You just keep on preaching." And he did. And he still is to this day. And I look at my own life and what God has done for me, and the sanctification that he is continuing to work out in me, and I am so much more free today of some of my past bondage than I used to be, especially the prison that I've struggled with the most, the prison of my pride. And God has brought me so much further down the freeway than I used to be, and he will do the same for you. Because God is at work in you, and God is good at his job. So don't get off the freeway. And by the way, the freeway is not a one-lane road, because freedom is a team sport. Solitary, isolation are words that they use in prison. God helps people get free through the power of community. So remember that story that launched this entire series when Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. He tells him, "Lazarus, come out." And then Jesus turned to other people and he said to those that were there, "Take the grave clothes off of him." Because God uses free people to help free people. We don't have the power to raise, but we do have the responsibility to unwrap. Or to put it another way, we need Jesus to go from death to life, but we need others to go from prison to freedom. That's why the word encourage occurs over 100 times in our New Testament. Here's something that you need to know. Bondage flourishes in darkness. And if you keep your bondage in darkness, the darkness will keep you in bondage. That's why the Bible tells us to confess our sins to one another, to pray for each other so that we can be healed. Well, why can't I just confess my sin to God? Well, you can, but you do not have to humble yourself to do that. You have to humble yourself to confess your bondage to another person. Well, what does the Bible say? I really want you to listen to these words. The Apostle Peter said, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. You need grace to get free, my friend. You need a spiritual community to live on the free way. And I'm not talking about a place at a church where everybody knows your name. Even bars can do that. I'm talking about brothers and sisters that know your story. And this old world needs more freedom stories, because freedom is a testimony. There are some things that are just too good not to share. And when God starts the work of setting you free, somebody else needs to know about that. Remember when Jesus found that man in the cemetery? They had kept him in chains and he was demon-possessed, and Jesus released him from all of that bondage. And Jesus told him to go back home and tell people how much God had done for him. So that man went all over that entire region telling people how Jesus had set him free. Because free people help free people. Bob Morgan tells a powerful story about a Dutch pastor in World War II that was hiding Jews in his family's home. So in the middle of the night, the doors burst open. The Nazis take the entire family and put them in cattle cars. And their only thought is, what camp are we going to end up dying in? Auschwitz? Dachau? But the next morning, as they get out of that cattle car, something strange about their surroundings dawns on them. Because some brave soul that night had flipped the switch that had sent that train into Switzerland. And they got out and stepped into freedom. And that pastor asked a very powerful question: what are we to do with such a gift? Because the gift of freedom is too precious to hoard. God wants to leverage the freedom He is helping you find to help someone else find freedom. So I have asked John Sharp to share his freedom story with you this morning. John, would you come up?
Sure. Morning. I was not alive or free 4 years ago. I was in bondage. I've been in bondage for probably 25 years. I had an addiction to pornography. Can't even read what I wrote. I had been active in a church, been going to church steadily for 12 years, gone on missionary trips with them, but it didn't matter. My heart wasn't right in the right spot. You know, my addiction started roughly in the seventh grade when a fellow classmate brought in a Playboy magazine. I sent him screaming out of the rooms. You know, from that, it was when I became of age, I could buy my own magazines. And of course, you know, the internet came out. You had it on your computers. And then, of course, technology got faster and better, and all of a sudden you had it on your phone. 24/7 access to whatever you wanted to look at. And I was there. You know, keeping it in the dark. Every one of them that you went through, it's like, wow, I could just go through on all of these because, yeah, freedom being a reality, it wasn't a reality to me. You know, I did my best to cover it up, hide it up, keep it in the dark. But yet when you bring that out into the light and all of a sudden you find out that, gosh, there's all sorts of people with the same bondage as me, but none of us will share it with each other because we're too shamed, too guilty. You know, the Holy Spirit, if it's not working in you, it'll work in somebody that knows you. And that's what happened to me. My wife knew something was wrong. You know, I'd hide my phone. I'd make sure that it was at night, it was close by me, so if it went off or I'd silence it, you know, that she wouldn't see it or hear it. Well, I'm a pretty hard sleeper. She got up one night and found it. I got woke up quite rudely. I was given enough time to grab a few things from the house. And out the door I was. I reached out to my church. Because, as you said, you need a community. Unfortunately, that church that I was going to shunned me and shunned my wife. We were outcasts because we brought it out into the light that, hey, this is an issue, but nobody else wanted to have it out in the light. Fortunately, in a previous encounter at a prayer conference, I met a gentleman that had the same issue and was able to get himself free of it. He had started a group of other men and out of his church, and he said, anytime you want to come up and join this group, go for it. I was able to join up with that group. We did a lot of hard studies. I mean, I was in a Once I was kicked out of the house, I spent hours that I had never done before in the Word. Changed me. I mean, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and convicted me. So yeah, it's a team sport, because without those gentlemen, I don't think I'd be free on my own. You know, I can say now that, you know, I lived in fear. I covered everything up in lies the best that I could. You know, it's horrible when you're driving home from work and you're looking at your phone and going, gosh, if I get in a car accident, what are they going to think? How do I get rid of my phone fast enough? But I need my phone to call somebody. You know, it's just catch 22 the whole time. But those gentlemen helped me a lot up there. We, like I said, we did a lot of studies. We opened up, we talked, we shared everything that was going on with us. I know I've shared with a few gentlemen around here, and I did not get the same response that I did at my old church. I didn't get the, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. You know, or the wives didn't shun my wife and go, oh, we can't be around her because this thing's contagious, you know. It's the way they worked. So yeah, 4 years ago I couldn't have said I was alive and free. I can today. That bondage does not have me. That fear does not have me. You know, it takes a lot to unpack what has happened to you, and it hurts to do it. It might hurt your spouse to do it, or your, you know, family members to do it. But when the, and I heard this when I was going through a lot of stuff, is when the pain of changing your life is less than the pain of staying the same, that's the only time you're going to change. And it's a sad feeling that somebody will stay in pain for the rest of their life because the pain of changing is too great for them. But you have to make the change. You have to be free. Living in bondage is not what God intended for us. That's all I got.
He is a courageous man, and I am so glad that he is free. None of us are going to live in complete freedom until we rid ourselves of these sin-infected bodies. But I think it's just encouraging to hear the stories of people who are farther down the freeway than they were before Jesus found them. And that's what I want for you. But until we reach our destination, we need to remember that freedom is coming. Right now, we walk in more freedom, but someday, we will walk in complete freedom. Because I have read the end of the book. There are no gates in that city. Do you know why? Because we're going to be free of evil, free of disease, free of shame, free of guilt, free of racism, free of all of this world's muck and grime. And we can shout, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I am free at last. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a big gospel. I want to pray over you, so would you please stand up? Father, no more small gospel. No more petty living. Give us the faith to believe that the free way is real. Give us the courage to get on that on-ramp and stop accepting bondage as normal. Give us the endurance to not exit, but to keep pressing forward. Give us the eyes to see the people that we need to travel with us. Give us the hope that we will reach home. Our destiny and our inheritance is freedom forever. So God, we pray this in the only name that brings hope, in Jesus' name. Amen.